any one of us would be in a body brace right now. But he's built like Captain America.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. We're going to be looking back at the games from Sunday, five games on Sunday, previewing the week ahead, and of course looking at Monday. There are nine games for DFS. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
That is a great, great idea. Let's start where we always do on these shows, of course, by looking at...
Monstrous line of the night.
Yes, the monstrous line of the night, and it is indeed the same player that is the young gun of the night.
Young gun of the night.
John Isaac of the Orlando Magic. Isaac starting to put it together at the moment, had 17 points on 6 of 12 shooting. He hit 3 triples, 3 rebounds, 2 steals and 5 blocks, including 3 blocks on one possession against the Baptist John Collins. Isaac is putting up some really strong numbers. Over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 25 player. Over the last month, a top 65 guy. I've said all along, I think this guy's got top 50 upside, not for this season, just in terms of where his future lies. And we're starting to see the framework of how he can get to that by being a 1.5 steal, 1.5 to 2 blocks per game guy. With 15 points, with 8 rebounds, with 2 threes per game, that's what he can be. And over those last 2 weeks where he is a top 25 guy, it's only 29 minutes, it's 13 points, it's 1.5 threes, 7.5 rebounds, 1.4 steals, and 2.6 blocks, with 94% free throw shooting and 47% from the field. Yeah, he struggled to begin this season, and he still is just the 124th ranked guy over the course of the year, but he is putting it together in a big, big way at the moment, scoring in single digits in scoring just once in the last 7 games, multiple blocks in 6 consecutive games, including 3 of those 6 games with 3 or more blocks, shooting 50% or over in the last 4 games, really putting together a massive run of games. Yeah, on the back of really the big defensive stats, but that's why we liked him. That's why I liked him as a fantasy guy, is his ability to rack up steals and blocks in big, big quantities. Think Nerlens Noel as that sort of a guy, the guy that, you know, consistently gets steals and blocks, but now he's adding threes. He's scoring back-to-back 17-point games for John Isaac. I think we're starting to see him come together as that guy that I've been touting for 18 months as this real potential fantasy game changer. And the Magic, I think he's still his best position, is probably the 4 or the 5. He's playing more at the 3 here. But, you know, playing some more, you know, with Bumba out as well, playing a little bit more bigger positions, and that is helping his block numbers. Really, really strong stuff from John Isaac. And if he is on your waiver wire, which he is in certain situations, 34% available on Yahoo, you should be grabbing him, because, again, I think we're seeing him start to become more comfortable, more familiar, and more aggressive offensively, and then the defense just brings itself. And we're seeing some big stuff from big John Isaac.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night is Dion Waiters of the Miami Heat. 41 minutes in the narrow loss against the Golden State Warriors. 24 points with 6 triples for Waiters. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. 9 of 19 from the field. Curiously, did not attempt a single free throw, which is not a very sustainable method of being able to score one. Now, he's into the starting lineup since the trade of Tyler Johnson. The first game wasn't quite so good. 32 minutes, 12 points, but this one, of course, is really, really strong. I think he can be a borderline 12-team league guy on the back of his scoring. Efficiency is going to be a problem. He's a 39.5% shooter this season. He shot at 39.8% last season. That's a real worry. Curiously, this season, he is shooting 14% on his free throws. It is a really limited sample size. He's 1 of 7 from the free throw line this year, which of course is very, very much not encouraging, and hasn't attempted a single free throw in his last 7 games, which I guess if you're shooting 14%, that's good, but it's also a non-sustainable way of being able to score points. So is he a must-add guy? I don't believe so. I think he's more of a must-add 14 or 16 team league guy, but he is someone, if you want to take a flyer on him in those deeper, or even in 12 team leagues, if you want to take that flyer as a guy who's locked in as a starter, by all means, I think when Goran Dragic returns, he probably looks to take Waiters' spot in that starting lineup. It's either going to be Waiters or Winslow. I don't know which way they're going to go there. Maybe they move Winslow back to the four, although he's been struggling, although he played well also today. So strong game from Waiters, but I'm not thinking that this is a sustainable level of production for Deion, and therefore he's a real back-end fringe streamer for 12-team leagues. The deep leaguer of the night is the wizard Omari Spellman. It was hard to find a real strong deep leaguer. Most of the guys with the better performances, and I use it as a 5% cutoff in terms of how many leagues they're rostered in. So Waiters was 6%, Jeremy Lin was 6%, but I'm going with Lin's teammate Omari Spellman, just 1% rostered in Yahoo. 10 points in 26 minutes, 2 triples, 5 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. He's won a really disproportionate amount of daily awards this season, Spellman. Had some real strong performances and some real duds also. He got extra minutes in this game as Lloyd Pierce was not feeling what the starters were doing and benched them. So John Collins and Dwayne Dedmon saw their minutes reduced and Spellman was able to get a boost there. But prior to that, yeah, if you look how up and down he is, 4 games ago against the Wizards, 16 and 10 in 30 minutes, then 1-4, 2-1, and now today's game. So he is really up and down with his level of production. We could see his minutes start to spike as the season goes on, but they're not taking away minutes from John Collins to give them to Spellman. Maybe they reduce what Dedmon does, but I think they like Dedmon's solid presence out there on the court. That Spellman is probably, Hilkey was an interesting stash at deadline day in those moderate to deeper type formats. He's going to have the occasional blowout game, there's no doubt about that, but persistent, consistent production. I don't think we're seeing that from him. I don't view him as a future starter in the NBA, and I think his dynasty value is a little bit lower than some others may look at with him. Let's go to the next award. I tell a man's not hot. The dud of the night, an uncharacteristically poor performance from Kelly Oubre. This is more Washington Oubre than Phoenix Oubre, who's been putting up some strong numbers this season. Only 20 minutes in the Suns' loss against the Kings, 7-3 with an assist and a steal on 3 of 10 shooting, and he was 1 of 3 from the line. He's been a really pleasant surprise, the 60th ranked player over the last 6 months. His usage is way up from where it's been in the past. He's actually providing blocks and steals. In fact, over that last month, he's a triple one player with 1.7 triples, 1.5 steals, and 1.1 blocks on 43 and 74. Still below average shooting numbers, but numbers which are a little bit better, especially that field goal percentage than what we've seen from him in the past. He still never really gets any assists, but he's bumped his rebounding rate up, and those defensive stats have been impressive from Oubre, but it just wasn't a good game today. I don't think we should be looking at him as any sort of drop after today's performance. It's just one of those stinkers that does happen occasionally to a guy that is inconsistent, but has really, really lifted his stock outside of Washington, where he was not that great of a player, I wouldn't have said, as a member of the Wizards, but much better of late. The plus-minus GOATs, TJ McConnell, was a plus 113.3 in the Sixers game. He was really, really strong against the Lakers, a massive blowout for them. While the worst net rating was Scooter Magruder of the Miami Heat. He's back in the rotation now thanks to the Johnson trade, and he remains bad. Negative 125.9 for Magruder. I think if they could find someone else to fit into that rotation spot now that Spoelstra realizes he's bad, they would. But he did have some pretty significant love for Magruder pretty much up until about the last 2 weeks. And yeah, he has really been struggling and continues to struggle in whatever role they are giving him, which is not a good sign for him or the Heat. Let us move in now to talk about these games across Sunday. Get a bit of action there to see what sort of regular fantasy stuff we can talk about. The first game was the early one. The Blazers lost to the Mavericks 102-101. Lillard was pretty strong, 30 points, 6 triples, 5 assists and 2 steals. And his steal rate of late has really been increased, while Yusuf Nurkic, only the 21 minutes for Nurk as he fouled out, 18 and 10 on some really good shooting, 9 of 11 from the field. With the Nurkic battling foul trouble, Zach Collins stepped up, 7 and 9 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. It looked like Collins may have even been forced out of the rotation with the acquisition of Rocket Rodney Hood, but he stepped up in this one, and we still had Myers Leonard playing, but Collins clearly outplayed him and got more minutes. So that's a little bit of value for those of you who have Collins in the deeper formats. CJ McCollum had been playing really strongly. His field goal percentage was sky high. Today, it dropped off 14-5-5 on 35% shooting. And that's, you know, why he was a little bit of a sell high guy on that little run of about 3 or 4 games where he was just shooting the lights out. Rocket Rodney Hood in his second game as a member of the Blazers. 8 points in 24 minutes with two triples. He's really nothing more than a 14-team points streamer, while Jake Layman's little run came to an end. 9 points in 26 minutes. Now, Layman's getting a lot of minutes. I'm not sure that he really should be playing this much, and his recent field goal percentage is sky high, meaning that a lot of what he's doing at the moment is probably unlikely to continue. Al-Farouq Aminu, he's making a real charge to get this back.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
2 points in 22 minutes with 5 rebounds and 3 assists. His production is way down, and if you want to drop him in 12-team leagues, be my guest. Luka Doncic, 28-9-6 for the Mavs in 38 minutes with 4 triples. He was fantastic. And Timmy Hardaway, the best game for him as a member of the Dallas Mavericks. 24-4-3, 2 triples. Most importantly, first game over 30 minutes, took 18 shots, hit 50% of them. If he was dropped post-trade, I'd look to grab him back. While Dwighty Powell, now the numbers don't look sexy on the surface for Powell, but 27 minutes, 13-8, 50%, 88 from the line, that's a good enough combination for 12-team leagues. Maxi Kleber struggled in this one, started, but played only the 26 minutes, 9 points. And one of the reasons why his recent ranking is down is his blocks have really dried up. He was blocking shots at a tremendous level to begin this season, and it's really dropped off. I think both Powell and Kleber are back-end 12-team league guys. The burner, Jalen Brunson, just the 5 points there, 7 assists and a steal and a block. Provides okay value, more of a streamer, say, for 14-teamers, but something there as a starting point guard, while Trey Burke saw his minutes, they've been all over the place in his 3 games as a member of the Mavericks, just 17 here, 8 points with 2 triples, really just a deeper league-type scenario for Trey Burke. The Lakers got smacked by the Sixers, 143-120. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, 39 points in 32 minutes, really good stuff. But as usual, have a look at the rest of his line. 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 0 steals, 0 blocks. He had a usage of 32%, the highest on the team outside of Lance. He hit them at 67%. So all this screams to me is that the next time, he's really ripe for a shit game coming up because he can't supplement it with anything else. And a lot of people think I'm serious when I'm calling him the future MVP. No, I don't think he's ever going to win an MVP. I don't think he's an all-star level player. I think he is unbelievably overrated. I call him the future MVP because after his summer league performance and his preseason performance in his rookie season, there were people who were going the old Dutch rudder on him at an unprecedentedly hardcore level. And I was always trying to say, like, calm down. Like, he's just not this good of a shooter and we're going to see regression. Nah, man, he's awesome. He's awesome. So I just said, screw it. He's an MVP. That's it. It's not a serious title. So when I see people often tagging me in Twitter posts, oh yeah, no wonder he's good, man. Josh calls him the future MVP. No, he's not. He's not an MVP. I don't even think he's an all-star talent. This is real sell high territory here for Kuzma off that, because again, there's just so many red flags there where you go, well, that's not sustainable, and he offers nothing else to back it up. LeBron James had 18, 10, and 9.
LeBron James.
He's been really underwhelming since returning from his injury. While JaVale McGee, I think he's a must-add player, 21 and 13 in 26 minutes. The rotations were really strange here from Luke Walton. We had Reggie Bullock start over Rajon Rondo. Amazingly, this team needs shooters around LeBron. Who could have possibly foreseen that? Bullock wasn't good. 31 minutes, 2 points, 3 assists. The 2 blocks are nice. I don't care that he's starting. He was starting in Detroit, and he wasn't a player that I wanted anything to do with, really, in 12-team formats, and it's very much the same here. Who's to say whether this new starting lineup sticks? So I'm not dropping Rajon Rondo, who played only 16 minutes and had 7 assists. He could be back and starting next game, but it is pretty clear to me that there is a real expiry date on Rondo's value, if it hasn't already expired, because when Lonzo comes back, he's just not going to be playing the 30 minutes a night that he was. So keep an eye on Rondo. I'd hold it for 1 game, and then I'd really want to see what happens after that. Interestingly, the hitman, Josh Hart, was out of the rotation entirely. We had 27 minutes for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and 12 minutes for Lance Stephenson. Now, Hart has been struggling in a big way, but playing Stephenson over him, to me, is egregiously bad as an option. If you want shooting in there, then you don't play Stephenson. Get Hart in there, who can handle the ball, who can shoot, and who can defend. Yeah, there is absolutely no excuse for not playing Josh Hart unless that knee is just... And he wasn't reported to be injured in this game, but unless that knee is just really causing significant problems. Also not really sure of the use of Mike Muscala almost exclusively as a backup power forward. They had a bench rotation that included Muscala, Flaming Mo Wagner, Tyson Chandler. We don't need all 3 of these guys playing. Only 2 of them are necessary in that backup rotation. Sure, play Muscala, But trading Zubats for him is just, it just seems dumber and dumber every day. This year, Luke Walton's going to be rightfully criticised for some of the rotation decisions here. Not that I have any issue with him starting Bullock over Rondo. Ingram was okay, 19-4. Positively, he was 7 of 7 from the line, but no peripheral numbers, and he just refuses to take threes, really, and hit them. Speaking of refusing to take threes and hit them, Ben Simmons attempted a three-pointer. It didn't go in, but he attempted it. And I've said that I do think he will hit his first three-pointer this season. That was something that we discussed in one of the preseason shows. It hasn't happened yet, but he's showing a little bit more of a of an ability, or not necessarily an ability, a less hesitant to take that shot. Maybe that's the way of putting it. Embiid was great, 37-14. Redick had another 21 points with 5 assists and 2 steals. And back to Simmons, it was pretty poor. 8-3-7 with a steal and a block. He was just 3 of 13 from the field. This is real buy low territory for Simmons, because people might look at it and go, oh, Tobias Harris is here, Simmons is done, he's cooked. So you might be able to get him. And look, that might be the case, but I'd still be taking that flyer on a real buy low opportunity. As for Toby, he had 22-6-6 on 64% shooting, while Butler had 15-4-3, old general soreness. Boban's the backup center, taking all of Jonah Bolden's minutes, 10 points in 13 minutes. There's just not enough minutes for Boban to be a 12 or 14 or 16 team league guy. But for deeper leagues, at least it looks like there's going to be some consistent playing time for him. Next up, we look at the Suns losing to the Kings, 117-104. Devin Booker returned from his hamstring cramp, banged knees. It looked like he was hurt again, but he came back in, ended with 27 points in 35 minutes, and had 8 rebounds and 6 assists, while DeAndre Ayton had 16 and 9. Rashawn Holmes getting those backup minutes, 10 and 9. 6 of 6 from the line is awesome for Holmes. I still see him more as a 14-team league guy. Kokoschkov bended to the will of starting Tyler Johnson. He played 32 minutes and had 9, 5, and 3. He is not a must-add player, in my opinion. You can add him in 12-team leagues. Starting him's fine. There's no need for it. But surely when D'Anthony Melton and TJ Warren come back, you know, one of those guys is going to take his starting spot, although I'm not having full trust in what Kokoschkov is doing. Only 9 points for McCall Bridges, but 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals is enough for me to keep him as a 12-team league guy. Well, Josh Jackson continues to look much better. Now, the shooting wasn't great, 18 points on 16 shots, but 5 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 triples. He should be on a 12-team roster, even though he is at real danger of losing a ton when TJ Warren returns. Marvin Bagley, it looked grim for him that first game with Harrison Barnes there, but 32 minutes, 32 points, a triple, 1, and 7 rebounds. Yes, it is against the Suns where big men can go off, but that's really encouraging. While Bogdan Bogdanovic had 14, 5, and 5, 3 steals and a block. Now, the minutes were down here for Bogdan, and I think 27 minutes is going to be more realistic for Bogdan than 30 minutes a game, but he still produced. Bielitsa got 22 minutes for God knows what reason, 10 and 8 with a steal and 3 blocks, while the pencil, Harrison Barnes, 9 and 4. I think he's really close to that not must drop, but an absolute clear 12-team drop. He's not quite there, but if there's someone you wanted to go and add, no, if you want to go add his former teammate Dwight Powell for Harrison Barnes, I think I'd be okay with that. Corley Stein blocked 5 shots. He blocked 3 shots last game. That's 8 block shots in the last 2 games. In his previous 55 games, he'd blocked 31 shots. So this is what you would call an anomaly, something that isn't likely to continue, and still only played 27 minutes. He's not a must-drop guy, but if those blocks weren't there, you'd look at it and go, 10 and 8, 4 of 10 from the line? Like, bleh, what is this shit? And the minutes, I think, will continue to go down. We'll see more Barnes at the 4, more Bagley at the 5. I do think that it is trending down for Corley Stein. If you can get any top 100 player back for him in a deal, I would do that without any hesitation. Fox had 17, 6, and 9, but it was a bit quiet for Bud Heald. Only the 26 minutes for Buddy, 18 and 6 in that one. The next game we take a look at, we've got the Orlando Magic and the Atlanta Hawks. The Magic win pretty comfortably, 124-108. Isaac, we talked about already. Vucevic, only 29 minutes needed for him, 19 and 12. Fournier had 17, 3 and 7. And big DJ Augustin, 14, 3 and 10. He's always that interesting streamer type of a player. Aaron Gordon was battling a back problem, but also foul issues, and that's why he was limited to 26 minutes. And Terry Ross just did his thing, 18 points with 2 triples. It was inefficient, but he still brought the points, he still bought the threes, and he probably is a 12-team league guy. For the Hawks, as I mentioned earlier, Lloyd Pierce was not happy with the starters, pulled them off very early.
Giggity!
In the third quarter, 13-5 and 7 for Trae Young. The artist formerly known as Taurean Prince had 8 points with 2 blocks and 2 triples, and Lin had 12-3-4. But it's hard to get a full read on this game for the Hawks. Fanderpants Kevin Huerter had 15-3-2, while Bazemore still just 16 minutes. If you are still holding Bazemore in 10s or 12s or probably even 14 team leagues, I think I'd feel pretty good about moving on from him. Just a bit of a mess in total this game was for the old Atlanta Hawks. Next up, the Miami Heat and the Golden State Warriors. Joshy Richardson was great. 37 points on 64% shooting, including 8 triples. He's been down for a little bit of time, but this is strong. Justice Winslow the same. 22-6-4 with 4 triples. That's always a great night when you can get 4 threes out of Winslow. His recent form has not been even top 100 level of good, and Goran Dragic, you know, returning relatively soon, is going to have somewhat of an impact on Winslow, I think. So maybe a sell high guy after this game. It wasn't Whiteside's best performance, but still 13-12 in 22 minutes. Extra minutes going to Bam Adebayo, who had 8-12 with 2 blocks. I love Bam long term, you know that. I just don't think that he's a must roster guy this season. While Kelly Olynyk, since he's been starting, it's been a disaster. He was interesting as a grab, and now he's a pretty clear must-drop player. Dwayne Wade, after dealing with that that fall, 10-6-9 in 29 minutes for Wade-O with a steal and a block. And he has been really interesting of late as a stream-type 12-team league player. For the Warriors, they're just so uninteresting fantasy-wise. Steph Curry, 25 with 5 triples. Durant, 39-6-4. Klay, 29-3 with 6 triples. And Draymond, only 5 points, but 7 rebounds, 14 assists, a steal, and a block. It was not a good DeMarcus Cousins night, but he played 27 minutes, and he had 2 steals and 3 blocks, had 7 points as well. There's going to be some rough offensive outings for Boog, but at least he supplemented with those defensive numbers. And then on that bench, there's just really nothing to talk about with this team on the bench. Kevon Looney had a steal. He's really just a deeper league guy. There was no Andre Iguodala in this game, so Quinn Cook got some extra minutes, but really not a huge amount to talk about with this Golden State Warriors team. Let's move it on now to talk some DFS for Monday's action. All right, guys, let's take a look at the schedule coming up now for the NBA. Now, because this is the All-Star Week coming up, we're going to be looking at the next 2 weeks. Some sites combine them into one mega Week 18. Some sites have them as separate Week 18 and Week 19. If you ever have the choice in setting up your league, you should be combining these weeks into one, these 2 weeks into 1 week. It gives you, there's 8 games worth of action across these 2 weeks, so it's slightly larger than the regular week, but a 4-game week or 2 4-game weeks is not an ideal way to run that for fantasy. So I think we should be looking, you know, looking at combining these. So that's the way that I'm going to be approaching it when looking at these weeks coming up. So when we look at teams who have got the best schedule coming up for this 2-week period, this All-Star period, there's only one team that plays 5 games, and that's the New York Knicks. Now, there's a lot of uncertainty with what they do, but grabbing someone like, say, a Mitchell Robinson, if for some reason Dennis Smith Jr. is still on your waiver wire, Mario Hezonja would be an interesting stream sort of guy, considering he is now allegedly the starting power forward. Alonzo Trier, Kadeem Allen even had a big game the other day. The Fort Kevin Knox, have been anti him for a big stretch of time, but adding him with 5 games, that actually could work in your favor. We might see the return of Frank Ntilikina and Emmanuel Mudiay, or Frank after the break, but Mudiay a bit sooner than that. Damian Dotson, the new shooting guard, starting shooting guard on this team. There's a few guys that you can add here to get that extra game worth of action for the Knicks over this All-Star period. While the Utah Jazz, they're one of 5 teams that have 3 games only over this All-Star period. It's pretty meek. And one of those games is against the Warriors, so just 1 game this week. And then next week, they have a Friday, Saturday back-to-back with the Thunder and the Mavericks there. So a little bit of a tough schedule there for the Jazz. They have the worst schedule. They also play at a pretty slow pace, so it's not an ideal scenario for Jazz guys for this coming All-Star period. Yeah, that's the best way for me to phrase that. Let's have a look at some other things about this week. It is the All-Star break, as I mentioned. Out of the days, you've got 4 stream days out of the 8 days of gameplay. We've got 9 games Monday, 5 games Tuesday, 11 games Wednesday, and 3 games Thursday. And then the following week, we start again on Thursday, 6 games Thursday, 9 games Friday, 12 games Saturday, and 3 games Sunday. So we're looking to stream the first Tuesday, the first Thursday, the second Thursday, and the final day of the week on that Sunday. So none of those are back-to-backs. and there's that big gap in there. And you're looking at how your league sets out waiver acquisition limits. Do they double them for this big multi-week? Do you get something? Some sites will. Instead of having four, you'll have eight for this week period, even though there's only eight games of NBA action. So you can go really stream heavy. Others will keep it at the four for these 8 days of action, which I think is probably the fairest way to do it. But having a look at how that all checks out, check how many moves you do have, and then you can try and adjust your roster accordingly. There's only one team that this over this period who does have three quality games. That is the Orlando Magic. So they have more stream ability. So guys like Terry Ross and John Isaac, who probably should be, or not probably, definitely should be rostered in a 12-team league. There's some value there with them. But DJ Augustin comes to mind. Deeper League's Ken Birch, the backup center. He's going to have some streaming appeal on those three quality game days. Maybe if you're really deep, you can look at Weza Wundu in that type of scenario there as well. Isaiah Briscoe in Deeper Leagues too can have that option. There's only one team that's got two back-to-backs in this week, and that is the Memphis Grizzlies. They have a back-to-back this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then next week they have a Friday, Saturday back-to-back. That's the only games they play, and both of them on back-to-back. So you can get, if your waiver wire moves are a little bit crunched, using Grizzlies guys on that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, Saturday might work. But of course, that Friday, Saturday, that's a 9 and 12 game combination, meaning adding someone off the wire, you might not even get to put them into your roster. But guys like DeLon Wright and Ivan Rabb, Jonas Valanciunas, they should already be rostered anyway. And the guys you'd maybe be looking to grab are Justin Holiday or Avery Bradley, and they likely wouldn't make your active roster on those days for that second week. Some guys to have a look at who could be able to be locked into weekly or dual weekly lineups. Mitch Robinson, I think, with the five games, is pretty much a lock for weekly lineups. Maxi Kleber and Dwight Powell of the Dallas Mavericks. Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics, especially with the possibility that Kyrie misses some time. Now, Kyrie's injury is not serious, so Rozier doesn't necessarily fall into place here. Kenrick Williams, of course, of the New Orleans Pelicans. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. DeLon Wright, Ivan Rabb of the Memphis Grizzlies. These are both guys that can be looked at as 12-team league weekly, not locks, but options to lock into a lineup. And Jordy Clarkson of the Cleveland Cavaliers, whose guard depth is disgusting at the moment, and it's not really likely to change at any point soon. So he should be getting, instead of 24 minutes a night, 29 to 30 minutes a night. And that makes him a much, much more interesting option for locking into weekly lineups. And again, if we want to have a look at how we can best approach these type of streaming scenarios, it's a little bit harder this week just because of the way the games are established. You could look at that Tuesday, Thursday pseudo back-to-back as an option. We've got the Magic who play on both of those days. You've got the Hawks that play on both of those days. You've got the Pelicans that play on both of those days this week. So, adding these guys for the Pelicans, maybe it's Jelly Okafor. It probably isn't, given that he is currently injured and Anthony Davis is back, but maybe he could be an option there. Kenrick Williams, as I've already said, should be someone who's rostered. You could look at Timmy Frazier, depending on Alfred Payton's status. Frank Jackson in the mix, maybe even Etuan Moore can come into it. With the Hawks, it's guys like Fantapants, Kevin Huerter, who should be rostered regardless. The Wizard, Omari Spellman, Alex Len, these sort of players. And for the Magic, the guys that I mentioned already. And then if we want to look at other type of stream options, well, the Thursday to Thursday stream, even though there is a week in between, that's the last game before the All-Star break and the first game before the All-Star break, not one team plays on both of those Thursdays. So that's out as a streaming day. And then you look at Thursday to Sunday. It's a pretty big gap because if you add guys on that Friday, Saturday, they're likely not going to fit into your active roster. So what you want to do is see if any teams have that Friday to Sunday combination. And they don't. So that second half of the week in terms of streaming, or second half of the matchup next week, is really hard to find where that is. The Friday, Saturday is littered with back-to-backs, and there is no real combination on that Thursday to Sunday that's going to work for anybody. So it is quite tough to do that. We're looking at trying to maximize your games played for moves in the first half of the week, because there are opportunities to do that with those Tuesday, Thursdays that I mentioned. And then you're looking at daily streams on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to end week two of this matchup, because you can't get the two-for-ones that you would like there. Again, there are teams that play the back-to-back on Friday and Saturday, But will you actually be able to use those guys? And most likely, the answer is going to be no. So adding those guys for that back-to-back might actually be a waste. But of course, looking at your own team, how that plays out with opponents and schedules and how your roster shapes out is going to be more important than me giving a generic type of don't do this on the Friday, Saturday. Because for you, you might have an open spot on both Friday and Saturday, depending on how your roster shakes out. And it's important that you do pay attention to how your roster looks over that time period. I reckon that'll do it for this preview of this All-Star break, week 18 or week 18/19, as it will be referred to in some places. All right, guys, let's look at DFS now for Monday. We've got a big 9-game slate. I'm going to be looking at DraftKings pricing mainly today. The first game, we take a look at the Knicks and the Cavs. The Cavs are 1-point favorites at the moment. The total, 209.5. Both, most of the time recently, or over nearly the whole season, anytime these teams are involved in a game, we've got a huge spread with a blowout risk. Here, we've got a chance of actually a close game with players maybe playing some extra minutes. So that's interesting, at least in that respect. If we have a look at injury-wise, Kevin Love missed the last game for Cleveland due to that back-to-back. He should be back here, but I wouldn't be expecting big minutes. He played only 7 minutes in his season debut. I would expect more than that, but I wouldn't be expecting 25 or 26 minutes here for Love. At point guard, Dennis Smith Jr. has been crushing it of late. He's at 6,400. I really like him. I like Jordan Clarkson on the other side as well. 5,200 for Clarko, who's getting 30 minutes a night, averaging 31 points over the last five. There's a real lack of guard depth on this Cavs team, and Clarkson is the guy who's picking up the slack there. So I like him. Alonzo Trio, better than Doncic, but only at 3,900, has really been lacking in his production and his playing time. If you're going to use Trio, it's got to just be as a tournament, while the Padawan Colin Sexton, 4,900. This is good. In this game, we get a matchup of tall Colin Sexton versus short Kevin Knox. Be interesting to see how those guys actually pan out against each other. 4,900 for Sexo here. He's averaging, to be fair to Sexton, he is playing better the last three games, putting up some strong numbers. 35 points over the last three. It's not like the matchup he's going up against here is a tough one. So at 4,900, I think he is in play here. Kadeem Allen also had a big game for the Knicks last time out. I have some doubts that that will necessarily be a great option here. But he is likely to get some minutes with Manuel Mudiay still sidelined. At shooting guard, Nwaba's at 3,800. He's not doing anything for me. Well, Damo Dotson at 41, also not really producing, even though the opportunity has been afforded to him. Brandon Knight's an interesting one to have a look at. Minimum salary, he played 12 minutes last game, had 14 points. If that can push to 20 minutes, then he could break that value. Really just a low roster percentage guy that you use in a tournament, if anything. Speaking of tall Colin Sexton, Kevin Knox at $5,000. He had 33 points last game. It was a shit ton of shots, but he played 40 minutes. The opportunity's there. The defense isn't in terms of who's going to be guarding him. So I think Knox at $5,000 is in play here and is a pretty strong option. While Mario Hezonja at $4,000, he started the last game for the Knicks over Noah Vonleh as David Fizdale just on a whim decided to mix it up. Stunner there that he wasn't consistent with his lineups. Hezonja's been playing fairly well, but I'm not sure that he is a high upside or even a safe enough floor guy. Well, Denga Dell has been starting for the Cavs lately, averaging 7 points in the last three in 29 minutes, so obviously not much of an option there. The big man is where there is some value. Big Larry Nance, 5,900. He is getting the minutes that he deserves at the moment, averaging 38 over the last five. I'm totally in on Nance here. That could blow up in my face with what Larry Drew does, but I am in on Nance. Marquise Chris at minimum salary started last game with Love out, but he played the same minutes whether it was starting or off the bench, 23 and 24 in the two games for the Cavs. At minimum salary for a tournament, you could consider Chris, especially given the opposition. Vonleh hard to use. DeAndre Jordan at 58, probably a bit too highly priced, while Mitchell Robinson at 41. I like Rob quite a bit here. He's blocking shots. He's getting a few extra minutes a game. He's averaging 29 points in the last three in only 20 minutes. 4,100, what's not to like there? There is a lot not to like with Kevin Love at 73 and Ante Zizic at 4,800. I don't really think they're going to be the guys that we need to be looking at too closely. On FanDuel quite a bit here as well. Knox and Smith I like. Clarko, Larry Nance, they all come in pretty strong. Trier as a $3,600 tournament flyer I think is also in play. Kevin Love is way more decently priced on FanDuel. $4,600 now, if he's playing 6 minutes, he's not going to get to that level. But if we got 20 minutes out of Love, then he would beat that number. I think we'd probably fade him in most cases, but he is at least at that sort of a salary, 4,600 over on FanDuel. He is at least a tournament option. Next up, we've got the Hornets taking on the Pacers. The Pacers are 5-point favorites, a total 217.5. Wes Matthews looking to make his Indiana debut here. We've got Miles Turner and Doug McDirt, who are both listed as questionable in this game. I should have mentioned earlier that Chetty Osman is doubtful for the Cavs. Miles Turner and Doug McDirt are both questionable here, while Tone Parker is doubtful for Charlotte. They did just sign Shelvin Mack today, so maybe he moves into the backup guard spot, or they continue to run Devontae Graham in that role. For the point guards, Daz Collison at 6,000 on DraftKings. That's a really, really nice price tag for Dazza, who has really upped his floor and his ceiling, and this is a great matchup also. Corey Joseph at 44. I think the arrival of Wes Matthews will mute some of Joseph's performances, which have been really good. He's not a complete avoid here, but I just think Matthews' arrival will have an impact. Well, 9,200 for Kemba. Look, he's obviously on a roll at the moment. This is a negative matchup for Kemba. I think at 9,200 with a lot of other options around, I'd fade him. Wes Matthews, he will play in this game, but he's not available to use on DraftKings. Bojan Bogdanović is at 58. I like that as a strong floor cash play. And even Nick Batum at 4,900, who at the moment is starting to play a lot better. Jeremy Lamb at 53 has been quite up and down, but his last 2-3 games have been back to early season Jeremy Lamb form, and that price isn't back to that level that it was earlier. So he is an option here as well. Tyreke Evans is as strong a fade as you can get. Marvin Williams at 45. He's a tough one sometimes. He can be really good. He can be really bad. In fact,
sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
He had 36 points last game. A couple of games ago, he had 15 points. But at 4,500, I'd feel okay about using him. Thad Young's at 6,200. I just think that's a little bit too high for Youngie. McDirt and Bridges, they're not working for me. Domantas Sabonis, we would smash the shit out of that if Miles Turner is out. 5,700 for Sabonis. He would be a 30-point lock. Even so, it's a great matchup for centers against the Hornets. So I like Sabonis there. Turner himself at 6,600, a really strong floor. His lowest score in the last five has been 31 points. He's been blocking everything in sight. I'm all about Miles Turner, but the question mark I have there, I guess, is he going to play? And of course, that should be everyone's question mark on what Miles is going to do. On FanDuel, I like Collison, I like Sabonis quite a bit. Not much else sticking out, although Wes Matthews is available to be rostered over on FanDuel. He's at 4,200. Maybe you'd use him in a tournament, but I wouldn't feel great about it. Corey Joseph also has a bit of appeal at 4,900, and Lamb at 57 looks not too bad. Next up, the Washington Wizards and the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons are 3.5-point favorites. The total, 220. The Duke, Wayne Ellington, is set to make his Pistons debut. The Wizards' new duo of PunchBob and Jabari Parker, they've been putting up big numbers in their first couple of games. Jeff Green is questionable.
My name is Jeff.
If he is out, that really elevates Jabari's value there, no doubt, while Dwight Howard also remains sidelined. At point guard, we've got Tomas Satoransky at 5,900. I feel like that is almost a lock for cash. He's playing really well. Sometimes he'll score, sometimes he'll get assists, he'll get rebounds. He just provides a really safe floor type of a guy. And then you've got a bunch of guys who I have no interest in. Bruce Brown, Chasen Randall, Langston Galloway, except Reggie Jackson I like. 5,600 for Reg. He is really ramping up his production, and he's been really solid and consistent, which is not something that you have often been able to say about Reggie Jackson. But at the moment, that's the way things are running. At shooting guard, the Duck, Luke Kennard at 3,900. I worry that Ellington's arrival is going to put a real cramp on what Kennard can do. But he's still worth a tournament look because he can contribute in multiple categories. But there's an element of risk there. 8,800 for Bradley Beal. I like that. He's giving us 45 to 50 a night. Strong, strong value play with Brad Beal. At small forward, you've got Trevor Ariza. He is at 5,600. I think that's not a bad play. It's not the strongest, but it's not a bad one. While Jabari's at 56. Now, he had 39 in that game against the Bulls. Played 35 minutes with Jeff Green out. So I think if Green is out, we really like that with Jabari. Otherwise, I'd probably look at it as more of a tournament situation. As for Green at 52... the last couple of games have been pretty disappointing from him, and dealing with an injury, I think, would leave that alone. I love Blake Griffin here. I love Andre Drummond, 9,000 and 8,900 respectively, and PunchBob Bobby Porter, 6,300. I think that's actually worth looking at. Now, the matchup's a lot tougher for him going up against Drummond and Griffin, and he's averaged 25 points the last three times he's taken on the Pistons in 26 minutes. So that's not a, it's not an unrealistic facsimile of what he could do here. So there is a bit of a risk here with Portis. It's definitely not as favorable as his last two matchups where he's taken on Cleveland and Chicago. So yeah, he might end up being a little bit of a fade here as people jump on the hype train that is Punch Bob. Over on FanDuel, we've got Jabari at 39. Now, that's unavoidable. You have to use Jabari, I think, at 39, a real cash lock. Griffin at 9,000 is strong. Portis, the same story, 6,400. But when we're talking relative salary ratios, it comes in a little bit better on FanDuel than what it does on DraftKings. Ariza at 6,000 also is a stronger FanDuel play. Drummond at 10,600, that's pushing it a little bit too far, but I don't hate it considering he's averaging 58 in the last three games. And 55 the last three games against Washington. So he could be in use. That is just a lot of salary to spend on Drummond. Beal at 96 might be reaching just a little bit too far for old Brattles. Next up, we've got the Raptors and the Nets. It's in Toronto. The Raptors are 10.5-point favorites, and the total is 226.5. Marc Gasol came off the bench for Toronto in his debut up north. Will he start here? What will happen with Serge Ibaka? That's still a question that we need to see answered. For Brooklyn here, Damari Carroll is questionable with knee soreness. We've seen Caris LeVert return, and he was excellent in his first game since recovering from that dislocated ankle. At point guard, Kyle Lowry is at 7,200 on DraftKings. He's been putting up strong numbers, a 42-point average over the last three, and the matchup here is a pretty strong one. In fact, a really solid one for him going up against Brooklyn. So I like Lowry. Van Vliet's at 47. Really, that's a bit too high, I think. Well, D'Angelo Russell at 78. I'd gobble that up. He's averaging 49 the last three times against Toronto. He's been rock solid with a good floor. Happy to use him. As for LeVert, 5,400. 30 points in his first game back in 15 minutes. That's obviously unrealistic. He had five steals in that time. Again, unrealistic in 15 minutes. So I think 54 for LeVert, we have to really dial our expectations back. While Shabazz Napier, he was almost out of the rotation, down to only 12 minutes for 1.75 points with Karras returning. Smokin' Joe Harris is at 4,400, 30 points last game with LeVert there. I think he's not a bad floor, you know, cash lineup, but a guy that can slot in and you feel okay about it. Just not sure the upside's really massive. Dan Green is not going to do it for me. Dwight Powell, blue swimmer Alan Crabb, who played all right last game, but they're still not really working for me too much for DFS. The fun guy.
I'm a fun guy.
Kawhi Leonard, 9,100. His recent numbers have been down, averaging just 33 over the last three, but this is a positive matchup. I think a lot of people will be fading Leonard. His salary has dropped down, so this to me is the prime time to get onto him at that price. That's as good a price as you're going to find for Kawhi Leonard, I think. Damari Carroll at 46, the injury worries me, while Rowdy Rodion's Kuroks, the return of LeVert, puts a real dampener on his numbers. Serge Ibaka's at 61. He had 40 points in Gasol's debut, so that's awesome. 29 minutes, and it is a massively positive matchup against Brooklyn. We know centers against Brooklyn go off. I worry about how those minutes are going to be distributed between him and old Marky Mark, but it's 6,100 for Serge. He comes into tournament play. Jared Allen's at 51. I like that for Allen as a cash option, while Gasol at 7,000. Again, more just tournaments. He's done well against Brooklyn in the past, but how those minutes get distributed is anyone's guess at this point. And I think we're all pretty aware that we should be fading Rondé Hollis-Jefferson. On FanDuel, Van Vliet at 4,600 is a tournament-y type of guy. The same holds for Ibaka at 66. Kawhi's at 9,900. Still pretty nice, and not as nice as on DraftKings, but a good price for Leonard there. And 82 for Kyle Lowry. Comes in relatively strong. I think Siakam on FanDuel is in a little bit of a better spot than what he is on DraftKings. Same as on D'Angelo, 86, about a similar level on both sites. The next game up on the slate for us to look at, we've got the Portland Trail Blazers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder is 6.5-point favorites, and the total 231. The Blazers on a back-to-back after that loss to the Mavericks. So, you know, an opportunity for them to try and get the, well, they're going to need to get this this win here. There's injury situations for Oklahoma City with Jeremy Grant out with an ankle injury, so that's going to open up some opportunity and minutes for guys. Maybe we see Nerlens Noel play at power forward. I think mainly we'll get to see Patrick Patterson and Abdul Nadir take on that role a little bit more. At point guard, Schroeder is at 4,700. I don't have any trust in what Schroeder does. I'm here for Westbrook at 11,400 and Lillard at 86, who's giving us 43 a night. No reason to think both of those guys can't return the value. CJ McCollum had been roasting last game, or the game against Dallas on Sunday, struggled. That was always going to happen as those shot percentages dropped back off. So he struggled there. More of a GPP guy than anything. Terry Ferguson at 3,500. I don't see massive value there. Rocket Rodney Hood's a pretty strong fade. Evan Turner, yeah, not doing much for me at the shooting guard position. Paulie George at 10-3, just crushing it every single game. Really happy to use him. A cash, almost a lock play at that price, considering he's giving us 60 a game over the last five. It's pretty hard to go wrong with him. Jakey Lehman getting extra minutes and shots. He's at 4,200. I don't have a whole heap of trust in what Lehman does. Nadir's at 32, Harkless at 34, they're not really moving the needle for me. The big man, I probably should have mentioned the Chief Al-Farouq Aminu at 4,400, he has just been shit lately, averaging under 20 in the last five, only 23 minutes a game, his form has tailed off. I like Stephen Adams here, 6,200, you won't find a better Stephen Adams price, and the matchup really suits him too. Well, Paddy Patterson at 3,300, the opportunity's there for Patterson to start with Jeremy Grant out. He just is such a limited producer that I just can't find myself recommending him. Well, Yusuf Nurkic at 7,600. I like Nurkic here. He's done well against Adams in the past. No reason to hold him out of lineups. Well, Noel could be that interesting tournament guy if they do decide to play him alongside of Adams, which I'm not so sure they will. Westbrook on FanDuel looks pretty good. I like Adams at 69.
Giggity!
Paddy Patterson, again, that same risk at 35. Paulie George at 11.6, that's a big salary bump for Georgie. That's a big price. I still think he at 11.6 and Nurkic at 8.7, despite those elevated salaries, can be useful, but it does take away a lot of their ability to be a must-roster guy. Same with Lillard coming in at 10,200. The next game up, we've got the LA Clippers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. No spread or total has been released yet. Tyus Jones is doubtful for Minnesota, while Jeff Teague is probable. He did return last game. Derek Rose and Jared Bayless both questionable. I would imagine that Jones and Rose are both out of this game, especially considering the Timberwolves re-signed Isaiah Kanan to a second 10-day contract today. But that would have to indicate to me that those point guards are out of this game. At point guard, Teague's at 5,500. The salary's coming in nicely. I just worry about how many minutes he's going to be able to see, so probably a fade there. While Gilgeous Alexander at 5,000. 31 points first game post-trade in only 26 minutes. The matchup is a positive here for Shea. I think at 5,000, he's worth it, but more tournaments. Patty Beverly really crushing it. Had 41 first game post-trade. $5,100 here on DraftKings makes Beverly a definite option to me. I don't see his minutes going anywhere. While Louis Williams at 68, maybe just a little bit too high for Williams, who saw his role reduced last game. Jared Bayless would get a large opportunity if he plays and say Rose is out, but even then at 5,500, I think some of the value has been taken away from what he is able to do a lot of the time. Let's have a look at the shooting guards. Okogie's at 3,700. Wigo at 65. I'm much more interested in Wiggins, who is averaging 41 in his last three, and he's producing in other categories apart from scoring, which is a great way to being able to sustain your overall value. Landry Shamet was also great for for the Clippers at 3,900. He dropped 28 points, playing a lot for that LA team. I like him at 3,900. He's going to get his shots off, no doubt, while Garrett Temple is starting, but that doesn't mean you should be interested. The Rooster at 6,000. Danilo Gallinari, I don't know how you can go past that. That is a strong, strong price for the Rooster. And Jermichael Green at 3,700 was not good in his debut for the Clippers. Big men, Townsie, 10,000. We love what big men do against the Clippers. Towns is a good big man, and he's got a great opportunity, so he's in play. Taj and Šarić, they're not really working for me. The table, Montrezl Harrell at 67. He's still stuck in that 29-minute role, and I don't think it's changing. He will play some at power forward now with Ivica Zubats in town. I just think there's probably some value taken away from Harrell here. Well, Zubats at 4,000, have to look at that as a really strong option. He had 28 in 23 minutes, and he is a really strong points per or fantasy point per minute type producer. On FanDuel, Zubats at 39, love that. That is a massive cash lock. Townsie at 11.2, I'm also interested in if you don't want to use Zubats. The Rooster at 7,000 looks good also, while Paddy Beverly at 51. There's a lot of strong plays on FanDuel for this matchup. Next up, we look at the Bucks and the Bulls. There's no spread or total at this point. It should be an easy win for Milwaukee. Yanni missed last game. He isn't listed on the injury report, so we assume that he's going to be ready to go here. At point guard, Brogdon's at 5,700. I worry about all these Bucks guys. Now, they did get their asses kicked by the Magic without Antetokounmpo last game, so that is a risk, but generally, if they're playing these bad teams, they kick their asses and they play their guys 27 minutes. So that's a risk with all of these guys, like Brogdon and Bledsoe and Middleton, and even Antetokounmpo, to a limited degree, because he still is the guy that gets his 30 plus minutes. So I'd probably end up fading Brogdon. Dunn at 6,300. I'm all about Chris Dunn at that price. And Zach LaVine at 68, who's giving us 41 a night over the last five. Absolutely zero reason to fade him. Bledsoe at 7,000. I love what he's doing. The limited minute risk is a bit too much for me, and I probably would end up leaving him alone. At shooting guard, Middleton at 64, the same stuff as with Bledsoe and with Brogdon, while Wayne Seldon at 38. He had a nice 26-pointer in 25 minutes last game, as they played a lot more Lauri Markkanen at center, opening up those small forward minutes for Seldo. Really not a massive upside type of a guy, though. Tone Snell looking for a revenge game. He might score 12 points, so that'd be awesome. And Sterling Brown and Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot also not in play. I love Otto Porter here, 5,700 for Porter. Strong first game for the Bulls, 29 points. No issues with him. Love the matchup as well. Well, Antetokounmpo at 11,300. Even in 25 minutes against the Bulls, he could easily drop a 65-pointer. So he is in play too, assuming that he's ready to go, which is what we're doing. Markkanen's at 7,900. He has been putting up some really, really strong performances of late. I'm not totally sold on him at that salary, because it is a big salary bump, but at a 46 average over the last five, he's definitely not one to completely ignore. Lopez at 5,100, Brookie. Should mention that Brook against his brother here, Robin. 5,100 for Brook, I think he's pretty good, not a bad cash floor play. Lopez has been starting, and at 3,900, he's giving us 20 a night. That is absolutely fine for cash. Get him in there, get me 24 or 25. And then I can fill out Yanni or Harden or Westbrook or Paul George around him, and it can fit in. So I think Lopez, at that low salary for a bloke who had 26 points in 19 minutes last game, it's definitely not one to completely ignore when you're going about setting up your lineups. On FanDuel, I like Porter quite a bit. There's still all those risks around the other guys. Markkanen at 83 comes in looking pretty good over on FanDuel as well. Some pretty nice options over there for these guys. LaVine at 78, probably not quite as enticing as what he is on DraftKings. All right, let's go to the next game. We've got the Mavericks on a back-to-back. They are taking on the Houston Rockets. A tough one for Dallas here, going up against Houston, of course, on that back-to-back. Dirk, we're not sure. He did play in the last Mavericks back-to-back. Not sure if he'll play here. Well, James Harden is listed as probable. At point guard, Chris Paul at 6,900.
Giggity!
He dropped just a casual 50 in the last game. It's a great matchup for Paulie. I'm in on him here at 6,900. Really, really strong option. Doncic at 87. You can't not like that price. He dropped 51 against the Blazers today. Harden at 12,000, a very reasonable price to use Jimmy. So all three of those guys are great options here. Jalen Brunson, the burner at 41. He's giving us 20 to 22 a night, which is okay. I'm not sure his upside is high enough or his floor is actually solid enough to consider him really in a lot of cases. Rivers and Burke and Devin Harris, they're not doing it. Timmy Hardaway did play 32 minutes today, did score 34 points, and at 5,000, What more can you ask for? Especially if they've integrated him over these last three games and they're going to give him 32 a night. 5,000 for Tim Hardaway looks good on the surface. Eric Gordon, I don't think I'm that interested there. Iman Shumpert, pretty similar. Gerald Green, Brokoff, Courtney Lee, there's a bunch of nothing there. Dorian Finney-Smith, 4,100 for Finney. He's been giving us 22 to 24 a night around that mark. That's okay. I just don't know if the upside is really all that solid with him. PJ Tucker, that's not going to work either. Maxi Kleber at 43. The blocks have dried up for Klebs. That's what really was providing his value. He's more of a tournament guy here. Ken Fareed at 68. I'm okay at that price. I like the salary. He was inflated at one point, but that salary is coming back down to a useful level. While Dwight Powell at 4,800. Just rack it up the numbers, averaging 31 over the last three. Absolutely nothing wrong with getting Dwight Powell out into your lineup. Onto the FanDuel side of things, it's not a lot that massively stands out. I think you could look at Eric Gordon at 47 as a GPP guy. Chrissy Paul at 78 looks all right. Jim Harden at 13.3 might be a marginal stretch too far, and same as Doncic at 98. while Timmy Hardaway and Maxi Kleber are more tournament-y type of guys. But they look okay over on FanDuel. The last game of the day, the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets. The Heat, another team on a back-to-back. The Nuggets, they're not. They're at home, though. No spread or no total at this point. The injuries in Denver. Gaz Harris is out.
Nice, Gary!
And there's Paul Millsap, who is questionable. Isaiah Thomas still out as well, but his return is coming up soon. The Blue Arrows at 6,300. His first two games since returning have been excellent, so I like using him here. Justice Winslow, Dwayne Wade at 5,100. Wade's been providing really, really strong value of late, so I don't dislike him considering how low that price is. While Malik Beasley at 5,300, we love what Beasley's been doing, but he just does nothing apart from score, and his recent production, even with Harris out, he's averaging just 21 points over the last three, and that's not going to cut it at 5,300. Deion Waiters should be starting. He's at 4,100. He's an interesting tournament guy. Farton Will Barton at 56. I think we can look to him at a value price there. And Joshy Richardson at 63. Maybe just a little bit too high. Other wing guys, not much else to talk about. Maybe Trey Lyles if Millsap's out, who's been giving us 30 a night with Millsap sidelined. And at 4,000, that's good value. And then the big man. I don't want anything to do with Millsap. Jokic, I do, because he's excellent, 10,400. Bam Adebayo, probably not. While Hassan Whiteside, giving us really good numbers, but he's struggled in the past against Jokic, but he looks more focused at the moment. I think he's a 40-point chance, and I think he's a really strong tournament guy, but I'm still not at that spot where I can trust him in cash. On FanDuel, Beasley is much more reasonably priced at 46, Waiters at 44, Barton at 54. They're all some options over there. The Blue Arrow at 69.
Giggity!
I think there's value in him there as well. And Jokic at 11-4, although that is elevated, he is still somewhat of a solid play. Let's go through some studs and values now. On DraftKings, I like Otto Porter as I've already missed a stud, but that's obviously the wrong way around there. Towns is my stud at 10,000, Porter my value. On FanDuel, my stud is the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard, and my value play is the Fort, Kevin Knox. On Yahoo, my stud is Kawhi, and my value is Deion Waiters. And on DraftStars, my stud is Towns, and my value is the Duck, Luke Kennard, at basically minimum salary. Don't forget, guys, to go and vote for this podcast on the Australian Podcast Awards site. I'm pretty close in that popular vote category. I'd love to get an invite to the awards ceremony. That'd be pretty sick. So if you guys want to go vote for me, that's a great thing that you can do. Follow the network, Locked On Podcast Network, on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On NBA Net, and me on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball, and on Twitter at RedRock_Bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Eric Spoelstra.